As ambassador in Mexico there, you were obviously involved in working against drug trafficking. Tell us about the strategy for fighting drug trafficking in the 90s. Did you believe the cartels would ever be put out of business? And was that even a possibility?
When I was there, there were three major cartels. Today, there are 15 to 20. There were three major cartels, the Tijuana cartel, the Juarez cartel, and the Gulf cartel. What I recognized fairly early on is that you'll never shut down the cartels until you shut down the demand for drugs in the United States, illegal drugs. And as long as this market was here, which was a multi-billion dollar market for illegal drugs, someone would find a way to get them to the market. For many years, they were shipping them from Colombia and Bolivia, et cetera, through the Gulf of Mexico to Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and then distributing them that way. It took us about 10 years to shut down those routes. And finally, when we were successful, the next best route to the United States was through Mexico. That's how the cartels developed in the late 1980s in Mexico. What I concluded was there's no way to shut down the cartels totally as long as the market demand in the United States was so large. How do you deal with them? I called our strategy the cucaracha strategy. Cucaracha is Spanish for cockroaches. If you've ever lived in a row houses in a city, you move in, you have cockroaches, you spray, and the cockroaches are gone, and then they come back. So then you get a monthly spray, and the cockroaches stay out of your house, but then three houses down, all the cockroaches are. So my theory was keep harassing the cartels and disrupting their business activities, and ultimately they will move somewhere else. Mexico City and Vienna used to be the crossroad of the spies in the Cold War days. So the Mexican embassy, the U.S. embassy in Mexico, was the largest embassy in the world. And we had electronic intelligence gathering capability that was the best in the world. What I had done at the end of the Cold War was to redeploy that intelligence gathering to other causes, among which was the drug operations. Essentially, the only real biggest death threat I've ever had was then the big cartel was the Gulf cartel, and was headed by a guy named Juan Garcia Obrego. So we targeted him through various intelligence gathering. We found out his girlfriend had arranged for a facelift for him. Because the Mexican law enforcement is so leaky and corrupt, I dealt strictly with the Attorney General of Mexico, who was a very honest and capable guy. We mapped out a plan to nab this guy while he was out getting his facelift. Ultimately, we had to expand the circle. Before it was done, it was compromised, and the guy got out of it. Then we got messages in our interception that this guy was going to teach the U.S. ambassador a lesson, and so we put a contract out on me to bomb the U.S. ambassador. So for 10 days or so there, I had extra security and everything else. Then it turned out that this guy, when he was born simultaneously in Mexico and Texas. And he had two birth certificates, one in Texas and one in Mexico. In those days, extradition was very, very difficult. It was almost impossible to extradite a Mexican to the United States. But expulsion was very easy. So if you had a foreign citizen, you could expel them. So I had arranged with the foreign minister to recognize the Texas birth certificate. And if we ever nabbed this guy, to let me know, we'd have a plane here, put him on a plane. Well, that's what happened. We, quite by accident, got the guy caught. And within a few hours, we had a plane down there, put him on the plane, sent him to Houston. That was about 1994 or 5, and he is still in prison in the high-intensity prison in Colorado.
The New York Times carried a story just a few weeks ago, July 17th, where they said the policies the United States had had for the last 41 years have become irrelevant. Morris Panner, a former counter-narcotics prosecutor in New York and at the American Embassy in Colombia. The United States was worried about shipments of cocaine and heroin for years, but whether those policies worked or not doesn't matter because they are now worried about Americans using prescription drugs.
Yeah.
So since 2010, programs for building the rules of law and stronger communities have become the largest items in the State Department's anti-drug budget.
Mm-hmm.
So they've changed that.
Well, we're still supporting them very strongly in the anti-drug cartel interdiction and what have you. We're sharing more intelligence with them now. We have supplied them through the Merida Initiative with about $700 or $800 million worth of equipment and things like that. We're very deficient because our gun laws are such that almost all the heavy weapons that the drug cartels are using against the police and civilians are bought at gun shows in the United States.
This is startling. Of the over 36,000 overdoses, deaths in the United States in 2008, 20,000 involved a prescription drug, more than all illicit drugs combined.
Yeah,
that's how serious the problem is here.
And some of these drugs that come from prescription are really dangerous. I'm on a board of something called Drug Strategies. We do a lot of studies on that stuff. It really can turn a human being into an animal.